All right, we are recording.
Okay, welcome everyone. It's Thursday, September 11th. This is the executive committee meeting of the LCRDA. We don't have any guests. We don't have anybody joining us by electronic means. Do we have any agenda modifications? No agenda modifications. Maybe we didn't receive any public comment.
We did not.
All right, number six, has anyone had a chance to review the minutes?
I have, and I would recommend their approval. It appears to be accurate in all means.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Treasurer's report. I told Michael, I can barely talk today, so I'm going to talk as little as I possibly can.
All right, well, we don't have any real surprises in our treasurer's report. We continue to bleed money. If you look at the page 404 where we had the income statement, it shows that we had, for a 10-month period, cash of $243,000. Now, that's below the budget, but it's because we budgeted some items in there that were later deemed to have been assets reclassifications rather than revenue, and so that's a big reason why we have a $52,000 variance. Our expenses were at $809,000, again, a bit more, but some of that is because, again, we plan to be out of some of these operations that we are continuing to have to be responsible for. We had the depreciation, amortization, and the accrued interest, and we had expenses of in that category of $613,000. Total, we ended up with a loss of income, $1,180,000. We can't keep that on forever, but it does indicate that we're pretty much where we thought we'd be. One thing that I am really pleased to point out, and I thank those who have been responsible for it, maybe the first time that I've been treasurer, we had 0 60- to 90-day past due. That is a good indication that we collected money on time. It's also an indication we don't have as many people pay us as we used to, so.
Makes it easier.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit easier. Come in, come in.
If you don't mind pulling the chair up quick, I don't know if you would come or not.
We were just looking over the treasurer's report.
I also would like to report a little bit on the budget. I'll not get into all the assumptions. I'll defer that to staff in just a moment to go over the assumptions. But our budget is very unusual in that it's a 9-month budget instead of a 12-month budget. That sort of anticipates that we'll be out of business in a little bit. But if we look at the budget, it has sort of two categories. That for operating the lab, and then after the lab we assume to be transferred before December 31, then how do we unwind the rest of the business? So to operate the lab for the 3 months, October, November, December, we're anticipating about $18,000 of revenue, but about $125,000 of operating expenses. So to continue operating the lab for those 3 months, would burn about $107,000 that we have. If we have to run for an additional month or two or three, we're thinking it'll cost us more expense than revenue of about $35,000 a month. So we really need to get that accomplished if at all possible, and whatever we need to do to encourage that to be done by December 31. After that, the January to June, we're assuming about 6 more months of operation until it's wound down.
It's actually going to be October to June.
October to June. We anticipate revenues of somewhere around $73,000. And again, if we have to operate an additional month beyond June 30, it'd be revenues of only about $6,400 a month. Our expenses on that category, though, would be for those 3 months, or for that period, rather, somewhere around $442,000. Again, bleeding of cash of some $369,000. And again, if we had to operate more than that 1 month, we'd be burning money in the neighborhood of $35,000, $36,000 a month. Now, assuming all this is kind of where we end up, we should have left cash, securities, investments, somewhere in the neighborhood of $500,000. That then to be determined, how do we disperse that? Mr. Chair, I present to you a brief of the financial report, also of the budget, but I would call this time on staff to make any comments that he care to about assumptions or anything else that would be appropriate for the committee to hear.
Sure, and I will clarify a couple things. When we talk about net income, remember, guys, that include that 1179 loss for the period through July this year, that includes $600,000 of accrued interest and depreciation expense. So that's not really cash. And most of what we're going to talk about when you look at budget and everything, and we've talked about really for the time period I've been here, is kind of more on a cash than a GAAP-based reporting. A couple of positives. Through July, the RDA is $158,000 under expense of where we thought would be on our budget. Disappointingly, the lab is $235,000 over. If you recall, an assumption that I presented was that we would be out of the lab by 12/31 of 2024. The additional 7 months has cost us that $235,000, which is $34,000 a month, which, as David commented, the run rate on the lab as we projected for next year is in the $35,000 a month. I'll go to the budget if everybody's okay. And the first page of the budget I want to bring your attention to is this one that just has some narrative and numbers at the top, and I'll just walk through briefly kind of what I've done there. And I've shared this with the budget committee, who has advanced it to the exec committee. First thing I did is try to present 24 to 25 the critical assumptions that we went through and how we did. I'm not going to go through these line by line, but it's important to note existing staff, we saved $100,000 because of the staffing changes that were made during that period. We also had budgeted for $175,000 of tornado expenses above and beyond what we received from insurance or FEMA. We have not spent that. Lab was supposed to be transferred by 12/31. Obviously, there's $220,000 above of an expense that I did not anticipate in the financial projections that I shared with the board. Some lab-related CapEx, we thought we'd spend 50. I had 55 in there. We probably spent closer to 15 on lab-related CapEx that fell outside of an FF&E number. We also didn't contemplate a payment to Florida State University for the first interest payment that was due in June if the lab had transferred in 12/31/24. So that's a $250,000 negative for us, if you will.
And remind me, those are annual payments, right?
It's a once a year payment. Yep. And that first one was just interest. The next June payment would be principal and interest, and that's a $411,000 payment, if I'm not mistaken. And the other ones, we had some operating expense savings of $83,000 and additional interest savings.
Hold on, go back to that, but what's the timing on that?
June.
And Dave, what you just presented was we have about $500,000 in cash at June at that point.
That's correct. By then we would have transferred the buildings over, the land over.
Transferred by 12/31.
Yeah.
I went one more step, and I was thinking about the impact of, well, what if it doesn't transfer and we owe that?
Then we're
out of money.
Yep. Again, the assumption here, and now I'll get to my assumptions, but anyway, net of all that, if you look down that, our projected cash balance that we're going to have June 9/30 this year is $1 million. Might be $1.1 million because I haven't paid a contractor for this and that, but that's the ballpark, which is what we projected last year at this time. Now, you can see I have $470,000 of a miss related to the lab transfer between the payment to FSU and the operating expenses. The good news is we saved in other places, and we had higher interest earnings and a number of things that basically, if you look, that's a $4,000 miss kind of from where we thought we'd be. These were prepared back in for an August budget committee meeting, which were based on June financials, so we did make assumptions for July, August, and September, so some of these numbers are going to move a little bit, but I'm trying to keep the presentation we gave to the budget committee the same as I give to the exec, the same as we'll give ultimately to the board.
Okay.
Any question on those assumptions and our misses and how we did? And I apologize for the boredom of that, but I do think a scorecard is generally appropriate to at least discuss the assumptions we made and what didn't work out and what was the impact.
Mr. Chair, if there are no questions, I move that the budget be approved by this committee and forwarded to the board for its consideration.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I haven't. I was going to go through the assumptions for next year.
Okay.
Let's drive the budget. That's okay. I haven't presented the budget. I love the confidence. I feel good that we'll prove it now. The key assumptions for the next period, we'll call, right? And as David pointed out, it is unique to have it targeted at a June 30 period. That the roads in Pond A will transfer by the end of the month. I still think it's going to be close. If it isn't, if it doesn't happen, it's only because of DEP legal. They sent us an email this week that they're working on that. They said they needed 2 more weeks. That was from Becca this week. So I expect the roads and ponds to be transferred off of the RDA lease onto the FSU lease by the end of the month. The pond repairs and debris removal project, remember, we expect that to be done by September 30th. In fact, it's already done. I've gotten the bills. I've written the check. I'm waiting on lien releases from the contractor so that I can pay him as well as then submit those receipts to FEMA to start what by all accounts will be a long reimbursement process. That's already done. The out parcel we think will that Danfoss sits on, we hope that's transferred by 11-1. Again, that's a dollar a year lease. They pay CAM. There's not a real financial impact of doing it. It's something we have to do. The estoppel certificate has been submitted to Danfoss's legal yesterday, so that's in the works too. They're aware of what's happening. That one is not going through DEP. That is really just RDA, FSU,
Danfoss. That one should just be a stamp.
That's right.
Okay.
We expect and hope to have the FF&E fully invested by 12/31. Remember, that is the appropriation.
Right.
And I'll get into a little bit more specifics on that. That's an assumption here. If it takes longer, we can do it post-transfer of the lab. So we don't have to be the operator of the lab to invest more money. But my assumptions here are that we've spent that money by 12/31. That the lab and build to scale will be transferred both by 12/31. Was told yesterday when I talked to my EDA contact that I would have an amendment by the end of this week.
Okay.
I do not expect to have that amendment by the end of this week. But they're working on it, and he's called me about it. So that's a positive sign that it's somehow in the queue.
What do you think the amendment is going to say when we do see it?
I believe it's the transfer from the RDA to the FSU.
A pretty clean one.
The one I haven't seen?
The one that they will send us, yeah.
I've never seen one.
Yeah.
But
you expect it to be pretty clean?
I have no idea what to expect, David. It's going to be on their terms. Yeah. I don't believe we are going to be able to push back on too much. My assumption, Valerie has been through this, and other people at FSU and Rose have worked on these kinds of things, is that they're going to just make sure that FSU accepts all of the responsibilities that are incumbent under those existing grants. And, I mean, they know what's – and our EDA knows where we're headed, too. I mean, you guys are aware. I tend to be a pretty open book on those matters. And so they know where it's going. So that's a big assumption, obviously. 5E, 6E, and Pond E. Remember, we've got the lab, which is a grant for the building, right? But the dirt underneath this building and this pond back here, those need to ultimately be transferred to FSU. We are trying to get a read on timing with the EDA before I start getting out of sequence on those things. And we're actually going to follow their and DEP lead on, do we do them at the same time? Do we do them in the dominant? I don't know the answer to that. But we've got everything. The surveys are done. We've done a massive less than accept project that the DEP, the main guy didn't want to do it, but fortunately some of his other folks have helped us out, because it was a big, long legal description, because I started with the 208 original acres, and they had to back out every single thing we had surveyed in different times by different surveyors over different periods of time to be left with this piece, because we couldn't describe a certain piece very well. Actually, that was the roads and ponds, same way. We expect to complete our audit by March 31st. That will be the last audit we do under what we're working with here. So we can provide all sorts of financial files ultimately to the county or whatever that looks like so that they have data backup. I want to make sure we've got a great package, frankly, for TSC. If they ever get audited for the appropriation, the way this worked, they got the appropriation and we became a vendor to TSC to outfit the lab. That's the way it worked. So, and then the last one, I've made the assumption, no payments to FSU since we're going to have transferred the lab prior to that June payment date. Okay? If all that happens, my projected cash, you can see, as David mentioned earlier, is $500,000 on June 30. Below there, you've got a couple other things, housekeeping things that still need to be dealt with that I'm certain we can do between now and the end of June. But those are things that are not really in the works at the moment. Declarant rights, the CAM transfer, PUD, all those things, I want to get those done by April 1. The address the leases at Collins and Morgan. We have an agreement, relatively informal, from both FSU and FAMU to store many of the historical records that belong to the RDA at both Collins and Morgan. Upon our dissolution, what does the county want to do with those spaces? They want that space, they want to grab those records. I need to button that up, and I haven't done anything on that end. I don't believe it'll be an extensive process, but it's something, if nothing else, a reminder to me to deal with that. And the last one is...
How much volume are we talking about?
I would say we got a room this size full of stuff.
I'd say two rooms this size.
But one of them's covered in mold and stuff. It's probably
That's
all ended
true.
Up in the dumpster. The roof fell in Collins over our stuff, so we may have less to deal with because no one's going to touch it. But yes, and it fell in. We don't know how many weeks before we discovered the roof had caved in and gotten all of our stuff wet. Yep. So... That I just wanted. Those are some of the tasks that are out there. I have had a conversation with the county about the process, the county attorney. Basically, if our board, and one of the things here is LCRDA and IPTLH future planning and timing. That's going to be the board's got to drive. What are we planning to do and when? If the board voted to dissolve, then we need to take that to the county. They will put it on an agenda for the full commission to then, address. And, she was only concerned that it may not be, sometimes in the summer, we skip a meeting, so it might be 60 days. So we just have to pay attention to the calendar. That's not going to be our critical element. But there is a process there to deal with. And then we've got to deal with a number of things, whether it's cash, whether it's Eisenhower, and we'll circle back on some of those things. Those are all still open for the moment.
Michael, you and I touched on this after mm-hmm. conversation with our county attorney, but anything else that came up with your conversation with her?
No.
Okay.
No, she acted like it. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, okay, great.
And again, the more we have buttoned up, what we're trying to do is, you guys, and I assume this is still consistent with the board's wishes, is we're trying to have everything tied up as neatly as we possibly can before that process, so the county doesn't have to mop up our stuff. And as Dave mentioned, that last page we put together in the budget, this one, it's just to show you kind of the run rate through the periods in question, as well as what it is for every other month, to any additional months, what they cost. I apologize. With that, I'm finished on the
job. Sorry, one last question. So on this piece here, the additional month, the $35,570, mm-hmm. that's a pretty static number, right? Well, let's say we were to go 2-3 months over.
It's going
to
go up and down a little bit, because remember, I've averaged what our insurance costs are per month. In the summer, our utility bills are higher. Yes,
yeah.
I mean, there are things, but really,
it's pretty close.
It's not going to move a lot.
Yeah.
And it could be just a little bit of timing issues. If we pay an insurance bill, a quarterly payment could be $20,000, but then no payments the next 3 months.
Sure.
So,
okay.
But we get a proration back on anything we terminate. But that's just to give you guys a feel what the incremental, what the time costs us. How's that? And then the cash on hand, just so you know, the reason I'm hedging a little bit on what we'll have September 30th, we owe FSU $155,000, which I'm going to try and get processed, and hopefully they'll cash before the end of September. I owe $65,000 to the pond guy that I haven't paid him yet. So I could end up with more than the $1 million I'm talking about, or I could end up with closer to $1 million.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the cash that's moving with 2.5 weeks left to go in the month. Okay? Any questions on that? Sorry.
And we already
approved
the transition board.
That's okay.
Sorry.
Well, we approved the budget. Do you want to approve the acceptance of the treasurer's report, or do you need that?
So moved.
Yeah, we should.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. All right, you want to continue?
I'll give you a quick, and I think it's in your package, right? FF&E, just to give you a heads up, remember, we got $1.5 million appropriation. If it's not in the package, I'm going to tell you. We have spent literally already $1.209 million spent. We've committed another $135,000 to be spent. That's some of it's a big new rooftop unit for additional exhaust pop, capacity. We haven't spent that money yet, but we've committed to it. Leaves us right now with about $170,000 left to spend. FSU is bleeding that out. We have a couple of little things. It'll be small. But that's where we are. We've got $170,000 left to spend on that appropriation.
Does FSU have a plan, or when you say they're bleeding it out, do they know that there's just going to be more things and we have
They have a list that they're reprioritizing constantly based on what the mix of what they think they need, what they think they can get paid for, frankly, from other sources within FSU. But that is an undetermined $168,000 right now of where it's going to be spent.
But they're pretty confident that they're going to...
Well, they got $600,000 worth of things, but that's an internal discussion we're having with FSU is how do you prioritize these things? They know we want to spend it by the end of the year. Yep. But they don't want to just go stock up on something they don't need either.
Right.
That's a balancing act, right?
Yeah.
And like I said, the IPTLH and that appropriation can exist even if the lab is transferred And if we're talking about going to June, arguably I've got March, April, May to be buying stuff. I just really am trying to push to do it sooner than later. So that can be buttoned up. The financial package outside of the audit window can be prepared, shared with TSC to make sure they don't have something different. They want to see something if they have any questions, because that's what they're going to have if they ever get audited. They're vetting. We have a vetting meeting today. We do not have any new members since the last time we spoke. We've had a bunch of meetings, but nothing that I think people get spooked off by the process and the rules and the programming to be members of the lab. We do have another Rick Meeker, who you guys may recall is a tenant in the Knight Building, would like to move over here and has expressed his interest now for the last 90 days. And FSU is trying to put an agreement together for him. I have pushed them to the, what if I just say, okay, he can come over without an agreement. And so we're working on that one a little bit, because I just want to get him over here. I don't think he's happy in the space and the service he's getting, and he'd like to come over here. And the IPTLH Board of Directors is having their annual meeting after this one for everyone who wants to stay and participate. That's all I had on IPTLH.
You want to move on to that?
Yep, number nine.
Do you expect anything unusual coming out of that meeting?
I do not. Everybody for that meeting is in this room already right now. So I could have squeezed, I almost could have squeezed it in right now, but I'll wait. If you guys recall, and again, this, Tom, I'll take this if you're okay with it, because we did not have a full board meeting in August, right? Is that the month we missed?
Yes.
And your terms all expire August or September 30th or 31st, 30th, right? Am I getting my dates right? September 30?
Yes.
So
the last day.
We need you guys, the board, the executive committee, has the authority to extend your terms in extenuating circumstances. And I need you guys to vote, somebody make a motion to extend your terms by a couple of days to get us to the October 2nd full board meeting, where then we can elect and vote on you guys retaining in those capacities for another year.
Motion to approve.
So, friendly amendment on that. The day of the meeting is
October 2nd.
Can we create a buffer? Is there any amount what's our leeway to extend our terms?
No, we're just asking to extend it 2 days.
Yeah, I understand that. But if for some reason there was a disruption and we weren't able to do it on that day, I don't want to have to come back.
2 weeks? We don't have 30 days?
We don't have quorum that day.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Up to 30?
Can we do a month? Can we do 30 days?
In October.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I haven't even started my campaign yet.
You got to turn on your social. You got an extra 30 to turn on all your social life, social work. Yeah, social.
Who's your campaign treasurer?
You.
And then we'd expect that obviously to be very routine when we get there. Okay. Does it get passed?
We have a motion in a second.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All in favor.
With the 30 days.
Okay. Good. So it's been moved. You made the motion.
I'll second.
Okay, go ahead.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Good idea. FSU, FAMU, DEP, EDA, the out part. I think I've covered most of these, but I said the out parcel, lab and build the scale, still working, as you said, for the 12/31 date. Ponds and roads, I sold declarant rights, CAM. That's something, frankly, that between us, FSU, and FAM, we got to start having real conversations on that, which we have not as of yet. FEMA updates, as I mentioned, we hopefully will get our reimbursement request in for the $65,000 for the end of this month. If I don't, I want to pay the contractor yet. And then we will request that to FEMA. It'll enter into that process. Jim Jacobus, is that the last name?
Jacoby,
sorry. He is the representative from FSU who's been viewing access to all of our FEMA charts that have obviously Morgan Johnson as well as Collins. I do not have a counterpart for FAMU to kind of take that over on the Collins side. But our hope will be, once we get our request in, I want to really delegate authorities and responsibilities for pursuing any FEMA money for those buildings to the respective operators of those buildings. I don't exactly mechanically know how to do that, but that's the plan. And so that's what we're going with. We don't plan to be the middleman on FSU or FAMU's request for those FEMA funds. Eisenhower property. We can talk a little bit about what we talked about at the last meeting. If you recall, there was talk of you know, taking the proceeds of that and using it to endow or get scholarships. I know Kevin's had some conversations with the FSU Foundation. I've had conversations with FAMU representatives about, you could almost craft anything you want, it turns out. You could put it in an endowment. You could create a scholarship that said, I wanted to be spent over the next 10 years on XYZ. Lots of latitudes if that's something the board chooses to do. Our charter documents say that if we dissolve and there's leftovers, it goes evenly to the two universities. Having said that, there's nothing in there that says it can't be dealt with before that window of time either. So I don't know where that goes, but the Eisenhower, we've left it on there because we haven't put it up for sale. Someone had mentioned a feasibility study. I don't even know what that means.
Did we agree to do an appraisal?
I think we talked about a feasibility study and then we got sidetracked on what to do with the proceeds, but we have not done an appraisal. I know Kevin got an appraisal of a nearby property for an unrelated reason, which gave us a little bit of a ballpark.
What was the ballpark?
$60,000 an acre.
Puts us closer to $950 a million.
Yeah. How many acres?
17.
18.
So it's 17.
It's a change.
Yep.
It's $1 million property.
Yep.
Okay.
So again, I don't know when and where we make the decision on how to proceed. And the appraisal, it's worth what it's worth. That's an easy thing to donate to somebody. The reality, if we try to sell it and we get in the middle of a sale under contract, I don't want to be extending the life, frankly, of an entity to close on a property that's got some kind of, you know what I mean? That becomes a weird, I don't know. And that's not my call, but I just know those are the risks of getting in the middle of that.
And to what benefit? You know, if we were in the middle of a transaction like that, even if it closed, I mean, versus just having it.
I mean, the only benefit would be cleaner to the two universities.
But we could probably give the property to somebody and let them deal with it.
Throw out an idea here, which is we don't want to necessarily spend a lot of time, effort, and bandwidth on the act of selling it if that creates some level of risk. The last 12, 13 years, I've overseen FSU's Real Estate Foundation, a foundation that was created to accept gifts of real estate. So this is a thing. Full disclosure, we've closed down the Real Estate Foundation as we have created at FSU an Office of Real Estate. So real estate gifts are now part of the FSU Foundation. We could work with the universities, both FSU and FAMU, to gift the property. Let the universities be responsible for monetizing the property, and I think what we would do is put together a gift agreement that explained our intent for how the value of the property would ultimately be used. And I think what our board could do, the full board, could look at that and say, we want the value of this property to, and insert here, whether that is specifically a benefit to what happens here in this lab, or if it's to set up endowments that benefit research, or what, I mean, we can explain it however we desire in a gift agreement. The gift agreement then is the document that the university or universities use to implement that. And I think that, you know, part of that is, and this is where FSU and FAMU need to have a collaborative conversation, if ultimately what our purpose as the RDA, if our purpose is to invest, if it was in this building, then it really doesn't necessarily need to sit in two different universities.
Cumbersome.
If it's focused. Now, there's the corollary to that is, yeah, but both universities probably want some amount of credit for whether it's their endowment or the fundraising or whatever that might be. So there needs to be some conversation, and I think what we need to do is ultimately get to the most efficient and the most efficient path that creates the greatest value.
Yep. And I think it needs to be consistent with the mission of the RDA, which is research and development, economic advancement in our area. I think that wheelhouse has got to be what the directive and initiative, in my opinion, of that funding should be for. I think everybody doesn't want it to get absorbed into some just massive other thing that's used for just whatever discretionary or purposes, whether that's at a county or at a university. We'd like it to be focused on the mission of our entity.
At some point, we probably need to do an appraisal, but we've got to be careful with our timing. An appraisal, a commercial appraisal like that is only good for about 5 or 6 months. I mean, that's
so.
We're not looking for a tax deduction. Really. Yeah. It's just that they're going to sell it for what they're going to sell it for if we move it.
In the world,
we've got to split it between two groups. We got to know what some indication of the value is.
In the world of gifts of real estate, the appraisals between the donor and the IRS, period, end of conversation. There's no requirement for the recipient, the university, to do the appraisal unless the donor wants a credit that is in excess of $5,000. So if you're a private individual and you're giving $1 million property and you want $1 million worth of tax benefit, you have to have a qualified appraisal. If you're okay with if you're simply giving the property so that the donor, the university, has the property and you don't care about a tax implication,
which we don't have,
but you can give it.
That's where I was going.
But how do you split?
Whatever the proceeds are, we just got to come up with the split ratio. If the answer is to split it with universities, whatever it sells for, it's X percent.
Would that be the intent of, I mean, if...
And does it need to be split?
It's right next door to some property y'all own, which y'all...
Well, and so to that, I think the conversation, it's an interesting question, and I want to think through it, but the burden for the appraisal at that point may be to the universities But I do think that maybe the better answer goes to what Michael was saying, which is, the appraisal doesn't mean a lot if after you've sold it, you actually have the actual money. And that's what gets distributed. All of a sudden, that becomes the metric that leads all the financial conversations.
If we just agree on the percentages.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's a conversation.
I don't think there's anything we have to do today.
Nope.
But I do think as we...
And when we get a little direction, frankly, on this, I'm probably going to want to spend, instead of on an appraisal $5,000, I'm going to probably want to spend it on legal. To make sure that we're not doing something inconsistent with the charter and everything like that. I'm probably going to want to look at, this is what we'd like to do. Do you see any issues?
Yes. So,
I don't see any based on the documents, but it'd be nice to get a second opinion.
Still in conversation, this is not a motion. Do we need to start a conversation between... Michael and the appropriate representatives of both universities to talk about, in theory, what could be contemplated, and what could be coming down the pipe? Because then what we would want to do, I do think we would want to go ahead and engage our board to start the gift process, because a gifting real estate is almost no different than buying and selling property. You do the exact same due diligence. It takes the same amount of time. What I've always explained to people is that if your time frame is less than 90 days, it probably won't get done. Just because diligence, it takes time.
And so I think at the board meeting, we got to have this conversation. If that's palatable and interesting, and that's what we desire to do, we do need to start on it for all those reasons.
I'm all for that. I don't think there's any problem doing that. I think we should alert the county that we're doing that. I mean, I just think we should, out of courtesy.
Just hold on. He knows. Yeah. He knows. Or,
duly done.
Check.
But if that's the decision.
But yeah, that's why I want to go to Melissa. I just want to go to Melissa with all of that and say, this is what we're thinking. I mean, we're allowed to buy stuff. We're allowed to sell property. I mean, we're allowed to do a lot of things. This is a little bit unique set of circumstances around operations, if you will, when you're talking about a wind down. And that's why I want to get a second opinion before I do too much on that. That's the board's appetite.
My sense, and I've not spoken to, certainly I've not spoken with my county commissioner colleagues, but my sense is that the county would be supportive of what we talked about here.
Okay. It's
worth going through the official channels and having that conversation. I can facilitate,
do you think that that's a board of commission conversation, or is it a conversation with the county administrator?
It's a conversation with the county administrator, with the county attorney alongside, and then probably having it ratified by the county commission, I suspect. But we've had, Michael's had more detailed conversations.
I've had conversations with the attorney, yeah.
Yeah.
But, not on this particular topic, but I can.
That's how I think it would.
But like I said, I think I need to visit with Melissa first. I'm very specific about the request.
Because she might find something that says, oh, you can't.
And I'm not, frankly, a big fan of asking for permission when we don't need it.
That's true.
Just as a matter of practice.
That
right?
Sounds like experience talking.
Right. Well, I mean, because if you ask for it, you're in.
Well, I don't think we need to make any actions.
But there needs to be a real topic on the board.
September getting shorter.
That's true.
And whatever we think of is fast.
The board, it does every time.
I know. And whatever we think of, but the board's not exactly aligned historically on this. As some people sell it now. Some people hold it for this because we need to sell it for the cash. I mean, we got to crystallize around what are we going to do.
And particularly if what we're talking about is the next meeting being October 2nd.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Yeah, right, 3 weeks.
It takes at least 90 days to step through diligence. All of a sudden, we're getting.
Well, having revisited this topic, I think this is probably the third time. I think it's starting to sink in, at least in my perspective on the consensus, that trying to sell it as we're trying to dissolve the organization is not right.
That's not optimal.
And we weren't clear on our purposes for selling it.
This is true.
We were talking about it creating liquidity, and that's not what we're talking about now.
Yeah. Right.
So.
But if this thing goes 2 months past 26 June 30, we're going to be talking about selling it.
Well, I think that would require a different conversation because just an inevitable prolonging things. What do we get to accomplish?
Well, and in fairness, I think the very last conversation wasn't about liquidity. It was about investing and creating some type of a.
Yep. That's right.
Something that has a perpetual value.
That's right. Yeah. We've covered
but if LCRDA can basically express its intent for the use of that asset, that achieves the same thing.
Yep.
Yeah. And again, it's also going to, we're talking about having whatever it is, go to one of the two parties in our charter documents that says things are supposed to go to, if not both of those parties, right? I mean, the equally line is in there. And there's maybe other ways to true up and do things, but that's the parties. It says any leftovers got to be supposed to go to anyway.
Do you want to have? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Why don't you put that on the agenda and just basically discuss what actions you're going to take, which is alert the county, start dialogue with FSU and Fannie Mae.
Do you want to start any of that conversation with universities in advance, or do you wait till after the board?
No, I'll start. I'm going to start with Melissa. First, to make her do a little homework, and I've already had a conversation with FAMU, just again mostly around the idea of how creative are we allowed to be, and the answer was you come up with, they're gonna follow certain laws, but if you wanted it in an endowment, remember an endowment is they peel off 4%, 3.5% a year forever, and at least my read and what I suggest, I think that our group was looking for more of a shorter term investment into the park, into research, into economic development in our community, and whether that's 10 years or 20, I don't know, but I thought that our group was leaning towards something a little more aggressive than a perpetual, if they say it's $1 million, do we really want 40 grand a year going in, or would we rather see, 100 grand a year coming in for 10 years? That's a board decision.
Right.
That's my read on it, was that we didn't want it to necessarily last. We're not looking for perpetuity for the RDA, in my opinion. We'd be looking for maximum impact sooner.
Yeah, that's it.
There's been a lot of, if you read red tape, there's a lot of things that let's push faster sooner. And instead of slower, longer. So
I'm going to have a gentleman at the FSU Foundation reach out to you.
Okay,
perfect. Just make an introduction.
Yep, absolutely, that'd be great.
After you speak with Melissa, do you need me to help facilitate reaching out to the county administrator? You got it.
Okay. Not a problem. And he's going to grant me a chance to get in. So, and the last thing that I have is you guys were shared an email exchange between Ray Bai and I about a suggestion. We have an assignment for you in there about promoting, you've read the email, I'm not going to paraphrase it. So I don't know if there's any comment on that. I told him I would share.
I'd like to start that off a little bit. I kind of feel like it's me writing my own obituary and saying I'm tall and good looking. And I'm neither tall nor good looking. I don't understand the need to spend time and probably money to write some script about how great we are. I mean, we did our jobs. A lot of us have served, I mean, I don't know how many years I've been on this board, two different times, you've been on forever. I mean, we've done our jobs. It was not the easiest jobs at times, and, you know.
And we've made errors at times.
And we've made a bunch of errors. We've got some great successes, mainly right here, and we've donated a whole bunch of valuable properties to FSU that can maintain them and use them. And I just don't know, I don't understand the whole deal. And maybe I'm more stupid than I really am. But.
No, I want to echo your comments, and I agree with that. I was actually hoping that Ray was going to be here today so we could have a conversation and not come back him through minutes or whatever. But here's where I'm landing on this. I'm 100% not in support of trying to publicize the successes of the RDA. I don't think that that's a conversation that will benefit us as we step forward. And here, so I was chewing on this yesterday. If you break this down into the goals, the objectives, the strategies, and the tactics, just a basic College of Business kind of simple analysis. The goal, I think, that we share is protecting the park and the mission of research and economic development. That's the overarching goal. Where I think we have different camps on the objective. I believe that the objective is that we need to rebrand Innovation Park as a university research park. And that means that the RDA needs to disassociate as the universities associate. As they increase, we need to decrease. And so the act of putting a spotlight back on the RDA is a different objective than what I believe we need to be focused on. And then there's our strategy and our tactics. And the strategy, I think, is we're going to work with the universities and with DEP to surgically implement the steps to divest all of the property. That's what we've been doing.
And remember, we're 80%, if you guys read my emails back and forth with Ray, 80% is already controlled by the universities, not by the RDA. The only dirt we own, their control out here, is this building and the ponds and roads. That's it.
And the ponds and roads are going to happen any day.
That's right. And so with the decoupling of the RDA is not Innovation Park. And frankly, Innovation Park is fine. It's in great hands with financially secure entities that have plans. The Innovation Park is not going anywhere. So
we're only a small part of that to start with.
That's right. And so and that's my challenge with it is why would I be talking about RDA at all? And that's why if you saw my emails was, let's get FSU and FAMU to run with this. They're part.
I would like, when we know the finality, I would like for us to have some talking points. When it was started, what the objectives were.
Bullets, not 10 pages.
Right. So that if someone sticks a mic in your face, you can, or calls you on the phone, you know, you got a little cheat sheet to.
Half a page.
Yeah. And that's, I just don't, I'm very concerned that the spotlight not only clouds the universities a little bit, but it's just an opportunity for somebody to take pot shots.
Yeah. How does it help Innovation Park?
What is the benefit? If we put a spotlight on it, what is the benefit? There's only risk. There is no upside. It doesn't gain us anything. I think what we need to be doing is avoiding the spotlight and making no waves.
We're 90% of the way there. Yeah. I'm doing what we set out to do.
I mean, but you've been here forever. How do you feel about that?
I'm comfortable where we're going. I like what Kevin has said. I believe that there is risk if you sit. There's always naysayers out there.
Of course, yeah.
That would love to attack. Every time the commission meets, you got naysayers. Someone's in the audience. We don't need naysayers. It's kind of like you talked about the obituary. We don't even need the obituary printed up anywhere. We just sort of move on.
Yeah, I would paraphrase it as like our duty is to protect the park, not to protect the RDA.
Yeah. I'm comfortable with Kevin's recommendations.
Rick, do you have any thoughts on it?
Well, I think there have been people on this board that have served for a very long time, and the way that I think they think of it is this is a good way to put a cap on that, right? But if you take your ego out of it and you take a look, it's just what the mission of what our mission is and what the mission of FSU and FAMU will be, I think FSU and FAMU are really the ones to crow about the new day, the new chapter, as opposed to us crowing about closing our chapter, right? I think it just makes more sense.
I would go so far as our duty is to fall on the grenade if there is one, yeah. Mm-hmm. As the RDA, so that the universities do not have to. And that's where I go back to, there's no upside.
I would like, again, as the days are numbered and we know the number, I would like to have a set of bullet points that we all have collectively, because we're going to get asked. And
I do think that's very important, because I don't see a need for us to call the spotlight to us, but should the spotlight come our way, we need to have that
kind of a
set of bullet points.
Yeah,
and we sort of create that. And I mean, for what it's worth, and you guys are obviously all out in the community as well, people are surprised that we still own any of this park right now.
People are surprised at what?
That the RDA controls any part of this park right now.
So
they think it's already all happened. We've been talking about this for a couple of years already.
Yeah, and to that point, it has been a slow burn. There are way more people, I would say better than 9 out of 10 people in our community that know Innovation Park, only know Innovation Park. They do not know LCRDA.
That's exactly right.
Which is good, frankly.
Yeah.
Which is what we wanted.
Well, I'm not sure 9 out of 10 people in the community.
No, that's a different stat. Of the two, 1 out of 10 that's heard of Innovation Park, only 1 out of 10 knows that has heard of the RDA. Right. Yeah.
So what are the odds of
that? Let's go with Slim.
It's Joe. Joe's
that
the guy.
We
that's
met
the guy.
We met him. He was at Chick-fil-A over by the Gilcomer Square. Yep, we met him. Right.
So I guess we'll probably hear about this again. I just think, do we want to recommend just building a cheat sheet and
bullet points?
Yeah. I think that's
important. Do we need to do anything but just do that at the meeting?
We could do it, yeah.
Say the executive committee discussed this and...
Yeah, but I think that the obligation was to discuss it and consider it, and yeah. I think that,
okay. All right, well, I guess...
So let me clarify, though, on your request. The bullet points are intended to answer what question?
What happened?
What happened? You know, why? Somebody asked when we were founded. I want to know.
Okay.
You know, so.
We have that.
Well, yeah. And I have a specific instance. When it does come to County Commission, mm-hmm. you know, I need to...
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be speaking in the agenda item and speaking in favor of the recommended motion for us, which will be to accept the dissolution.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's one specific instance.
That's
I know
fair.
I
that's fair.
Yeah.
And I think, hopefully, what's happened at that point in time will be... They have distributed almost 99% of their assets.
So I don't know that we don't have to have a motion. We just need to.
It's discussion.
Okay.
You gonna communicate back to Ray of our discussion today, or wait until the board meets to hear it?
We'll send in the minutes. And
I can point to the audio. You can listen.
Yeah. And we made it clear he could attend if he wanted to. And obviously, the board meeting, he could bring up his thoughts as well.
Do we have any new business, Michael, or is that it?
Yep.
Motion to adjourn, someone?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?